For the next 2 weeks, we're going to be closing down this series of sermons called Just Because, talking about the love of God and how he loves us just because. Nothing that we have done, nothing that we can do, God just loves us. We talked about, the last few weeks, we've also been talking about the love, not only the love of God, but we've also been speaking of the love of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works in us and grows in us and helps us along the way. And I was going to try to do this sermon all in one part, but then as I started preparing, I'm thinking, there's no way I can do this in one part. And so 1 John chapter 4 is a wonderful verse, a wonderful chapter. I love the book of 1 John, but I really, really like 1 John chapter 4 and the chapter that we're going to be reading today. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and flip over there and let's read. Starting in verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this, you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of error. I'm going to pause there. We're going to continue reading on in this message, but I want to pause there because, and it may seem like a weird place to begin a message about love and looking at this, but I think it's something that we have to understand in what 1 John is telling us. And 1 John is telling us that we have to understand who is inside of us. I love the verse, he who is inside of you is greater than he who is in the world. But John doesn't stop there. You know, often I have said that oftentimes, reminding Christians that who is inside of them, who lives inside of you, the Spirit of God is inside of you, and so therefore we should have no fear. We can go walk out in the world and we can do whatever God calls us to do because he is inside of us. I've used that verse often over and over and over again, but there is something that we have to look at too that John tells us. He says that, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. When we think about this, we think about what's going on in the world around us. I bring up this verse, especially when we talk about love, because there are a lot of people out in the world today that says, Christians just need to love everyone, right? If you're following Jesus, that means you just love everyone. Well, listen, we are called to love everyone. Does that mean we like everyone? No, but we are called to love everyone. He does call us to love, but he also tells us to be aware of something. John's telling us, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. See, sometimes in the world when we face someone and we come face to face with them, we have to rely on something that's called the Holy Spirit that's inside of us. There's actually a gift that Paul talks about in Corinthians and other places about the gifts of the Spirit. One of the gifts of the Spirit is called discernment of the spirits, right? Have you ever walked into a room and you just felt, oh, that person is yucky. I just can't, oh, it gives me the heebie-jeebies or the chills or something like that. I know I certainly have. I've walked into grocery stores before and walking down the path or walking down one of the aisles and see someone, I'm like, yeah, I think I'll keep walking. You just feel that inside of you. That's called a discernment of the spirits. The Holy Spirit gives that to you so that you can understand these things. You can understand what the world is around us. See, not everyone who calls on the name of the Lord is actually from the Lord. I know that may be shocking, but it's the truth. Not everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to be aware of those things, and we have to be aware of those people. And so John is telling us, test the spirits to see whether they're from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. And then he goes on, he says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is from God. And so he's simply saying, oh, you know who is from God. First of all, the spirit inside of us will make you aware. Remember, let me do the reverse. You know, I said you walk into a store and you see someone that you just don't feel comfortable with. Have you ever walked up and you just met someone and you're like, I really like that person. I don't know why. There's just something about that person. And you just feel this, overwhelming joy, this connection, if you will. That's also from the Spirit, by the way. That is when the Lord opens up your heart and says, this is someone that you should be with, someone that you should be around, spending time with. By this you know the Spirit of God, that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is from God. And then he goes on to say, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard was coming, and now is in the world already. Now, let me remind you that John wrote this over 2,000 years ago, right? So if John wrote this, well, give or take, close to 2,000 years ago. But we'll, if we know that John wrote this, and he says that the Antichrist is already in the world, what do we think is in the world today? The same, yeah. It hasn't gone away. In fact, if anything, it's even more. And when we look at people, we say, oh, you know, we shouldn't be this way as Christians, but sometimes we get in this avenue of saying, okay, that person is certainly the Antichrist. Go on YouTube, just type in YouTube, type in Antichrist, and see how many video after video after video you will see of someone saying, this is the Antichrist. Donald Trump is the Antichrist. Joe Biden is the Antichrist. Barack Obama is the Antichrist. You could go on and on and on and down the list. Vladimir Putin. Yeah, Putin is the Antichrist. Yeah, he may not be good, but I don't know if he's the Antichrist. But every time, it doesn't take long to look at this. Now, what do we do as Christians? What do we do? We see this everywhere. John's telling us to be aware of this because the Antichrist is already there. So what is that we do? See, the problem that many Christians have today is that, again, I'm going to bring this up of what I've said the last few weeks, is that we have forgo the connection to the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, when we are supposed to test the spirits to see whether they are, we don't know how to test the spirits. So we just make logical assumptions that if this person isn't following Jesus, he must be the Antichrist. But the truth of the matter is that it goes way beyond that. The Spirit will speak to you. John goes and he calls them little children. He said, little children, you are from God and you have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The reason why you can test the spirits, the reason why you can know whether someone is good or bad is because the Holy Spirit is inside of you. He lives inside of you. He walks with you. He teaches you. He helps you. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not God does not listen to us. But by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's pause and pray, and then we'll continue to jump in. Father, we thank you so much for this day, to glorify you, to celebrate you, to be with you. We thank you for just your guidance that you gave to 1 John to speak these messages that still speak to us to this very day. Lord, we pray that you just help us to identify the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that's inside of us. Holy Spirit, we ask you, just make yourself known to us so that when we walk into the path of this world, we can know and test the spirits, as 1 John says, so that we can love the people around us that need to be loved, Father, to know the people around us that need to be known. Help us to have your discernment of spirits. Help us have the discernment of what we need to do to move forward in this place. Lord, it only comes from you. Loving the world is impossible without you. And so we ask you, Lord, this day and every day to guide us, strengthen us, and help us in all things. And I pray, Lord, that my words would not be my own, but they truly be your words, Father, and that you would teach us, open our ears, remove any of the hindrances and stumbling blocks that keep us from grasping a hold of the message that you'd want us to have today. We love you, Lord. We glorify you. We honor you and we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. My father used to like to say a verse or a phrase all the time. And one of that verse was, if it quacks like a duck, anyone want to finish it? If it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, it what? It must be a duck, right? So my father used to tell me all the time, he's like, you know, you can say whatever you want, but if your actions prove otherwise, you know, if you say you're a cat, but you walk around quacking like a duck and walking like a duck, you're going to be a duck. Doesn't matter what you say you are. John is telling us to look at the people around us and to understand. See, we are called as Christians to love the world. We're called to love like Jesus loves. He calls us to do that. Now, for some, listen, I know there's some people in your life, because there certainly are in my life, that's just really hard to love. Some people are just so difficult, right? And it's not that you don't want to love that person. It's just like, for whatever reason, your emotions don't mix, your ideas don't mix, and you have this conflict that's going on. Chad reminds me every Thursday as we sit down that he's that one in my life. No, I'm kidding, Chad. Chad is not. But there is those people in your life. Yeah, I directed over there. So you can pay Chad later, Chess. Okay. No, I'm kidding. But the truth of the matter is there are people in all of our lives that are that way, right? That we just have a difficulty with. And God tells us that we are still, if we're supposed to, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? We said that a few weeks ago. We know that to be true. And then he also says that God is love. John tells us that God is love. And tells us that we're going to walk in that love, we have to understand it. So here's the problem. How do we walk in that love? How do we love people that are impossible to love? And how do we have the discernment to say, okay, that person I should probably stay away from? Because there are people in our lives that the devil will put inside of your life, will put in your path, that you should stay away from. Look, if you're an alcoholic and you have alcoholic friends, right? And you decide, I'm going to quit drinking. I'm going to walk away from that. Do you then go hang out with the friends who are drinkers? No, the discernment of this, I do need the Holy Spirit every day, no matter where I go. But I can give you that advice. Don't do it. But yet we are called to love still. We need to understand what is real and what is fake. In the world that we live in today, there's a lot of people who say they are one thing, but they're really not. Their actions prove otherwise. And before we go and say, oh yeah, those people are just like that, we need to take a hard look at ourselves first. Do what we say, is our actions... See, if our actions don't quack like a duck and our actions don't walk like a duck, then we're not a duck. Now, let me rephrase that and say, if we don't talk like a Christian, if we don't walk like a Christian, if we don't love like a Christian, can we really call ourselves a Christian? That's a question that we have to ask. There has to be a reality here. We have to understand, is it real? Is what's inside of me real? Am I expressing? Am I letting the fruit grow out of, am I letting the fruit of the Spirit that we talked about last week grow outside of me and bloom and produce fruit all around me? Am I changing the lives of the people that are interacting with me, or am I not? I read a story recently of a lady who walked into Goodwill. Now, my wife and my daughter love going to Goodwill. I hate it. I despise it. It's not one of my favorite places to be. But my daughter always finds something there. My wife always finds something there. I'm like, we got a basement. Let's just pretend that our basement is Goodwill. Go down and pick something out of the basement, right? It works just the same. Yeah, it's free there, right? Well, let's fast forward though. Anyway, so this lady walks into Goodwill. She came across a painting that she recognized. She looks at the painting, and as she's looking at the painting, it really looks like, anyone heard of Jackson Pollock? Famous artist, right? She looks at this painting and she says, man, that really looks like a Jackson Pollock painting. And so she was looking at it and she's trying to decide. There is a price tag on it for $5. So she picks up the painting. She's looking at it. She knows enough about Jackson Pollock to look for his signature somewhere on the artwork. She could not find it anywhere. The lady at Goodwill comes by and says, "Ma'am, that is a reproduction. It is not worth $5, but if you want to give us $5, we will gladly sell it to you." She bought it. She takes it home. The reason why she bought it, and she tells this story, this is an amazing story. She says, "I'm standing in front of this, and even though I can't find his signature, I'm looking at this, it doesn't look like a reproduction." She goes, "Something inside of me was telling me that it was real. I can't tell you exactly what it was, but something inside of it told me it was real," and so she bought it. She took it home, and for years of her life, she sent it to experts. And expert after expert would come back and tell her, "It is not real. It's fake." And she began to get really aggravated. And she knew that it was real, and she told her family members, "When I pass away, do not sell that painting unless you get lots of money for it, because it's real." Well, unfortunately, she did pass away. And a year after she had passed away, her son takes the painting and he decides, "I'm going to try one more time. I'm going to take it to an expert, a Jackson Pollock expert." So he took it there just to have the painting looked at. It was going to cost him over $500 just for this expert to look at the painting. The expert looks at the painting, and a week later he calls up the young man and says, "I will give you $90,000 for that painting." And he goes, "I take it it's real." And the expert says, "Oh yeah, it's real." See, what had happened is the previous owner, before this lady bought it at Goodwill, had hung it up on the wall, and as she was painting the ceiling, a drip of paint came down and landed right on the signature part of where Jackson Pollock had signed his name on that painting. And so therefore, every other person after that said it was a fake painting, when in reality, it was a real painting. The young man turned down the offer of the $90,000, took it to auction, and ended up making $9 million off of a painting that his mother bought at Goodwill for $5. Now, why do I bring this story up? I bring this story up because, look, the truth of the matter is that if you know, you'll know. You'll know the real ones. You'll know the fake ones. If you're walking in the Spirit, something inside of your spirit will tell you that is a real person. Now, we're all real persons. That's a real Christian, I should say. That's a real person, right? Right there. Living, breathing, real person right there. No fake, yeah, right? No. But I'm talking about a real Christian. You'll know it. No matter what we try to do to cover up the Spirit in our life, the Spirit is still there. The Spirit is with us. It walks with us. And it proves to us as we are interacting with others what is real and what is not. I want to be completely honest with you. Sometimes I stand up in front of you all and I'm preaching and I get disappointed. As a pastor, that happens sometimes, right? You stand up here and you preach a message, and then you see, nothing makes me more disappointed when I see someone failing at something that we have preached about, either myself or Pastor Chaz or someone else. And you see them struggling through life and you sit there and you want to say, "But we've talked about this. All you have to do is grab a hold of it and let it change you." Now, the easy thing to do is to look at that person and say, "Well, listen, I'm going to see you later. Good luck. I preached about it. You did all the, you didn't listen to me, so what should I do," right? As my father used to say, "I told you what to do. If you didn't listen to me, it's your own darn fault." I'm going to say something else. But the reality of it is the Spirit doesn't allow us to do that. The Spirit at work inside of me connects with the Spirit that works inside of you. And we love you and we want to come and help you. And we want to walk you along that path to be something different. To be the real version of who you are. What God created you to be. And so when we fail, because we all will fail. I will fail. You will fail. All of us will fail. All we have to understand is that we can still love each other because the Spirit's inside of us. But we have to live by the Spirit. My question for you is, do you know the one that's inside of you? Do you know the Spirit that's living inside of you? Do you know the Spirit that is alive inside of you, who's calling you to make a choice to be different, to do something different? John is telling us that we should live by that Spirit, and so we walk in that Spirit, but we have to understand He is inside of you. I had a conversation this past week with a friend who differs in his belief of the Holy Spirit than I do. It was a very good conversation, and we were I was winning the argument. There's no way around it. I always win. No, I'm kidding. But we were having this discussion, and as we were having the discussion, he says, the role of the Holy Spirit was different than what I was describing it. He somehow said to me that the role of the Holy Spirit is secondary to what the role of Jesus Christ did. And this is common. This is common in a lot of places today. A lot of places will look at and they will honor God the Father. They will honor God the Son. But when it comes to God the Holy Spirit, they are unsure of the actions and what He's supposed to do. And so therefore, they get nervous. And what do? They push that down and they give honor and glory to Jesus Christ and God the Father, which is a wonderful thing to do. But the truth of the matter is the Holy Spirit is also inside of us. And so as I sat here having this discussion with him, he told me that he was assured that of the one that was inside of him. And I asked him, I said, can you explain to me who's inside of you? Because, well, when I gave my life, this is a pastor now, of course, but he said, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ entered into my heart and he lives inside of me. And I looked at him and I said, wrong. And he's like, what do you mean wrong? I accepted Jesus Christ for what he did. I said, yeah, but did you forget to read the part of the Bible where it says Jesus Christ must leave so the Holy Spirit can come? That Jesus Christ is no longer here on this earth? That he ascended into heaven? Who's with you today? The one that's with us today is the Holy Spirit. That's who's inside of us. That's who's guiding us. That's who's directing us. That's who's loving us. Now, the wonderful thing is that they're all part of the Trinity. They're all one. And so when we give honor and glory to Jesus Christ, it's okay because we're giving honor and glory to God, who includes the Holy Spirit. But we have to understand that who is inside of you today is the Spirit of God, who Jesus says in his own words, it's better that I leave so that the Spirit will come and you can do things that I have never done. Jesus Christ said in his own words that we will do things greater than what he did because he is leaving and the Holy Spirit is coming. And so we have to know this one that's inside of us. We have to know the one that is with us, who's guiding us. I love Jesus, and I love giving him honor and glory, and I will never stop saying it. Everything in Scripture is about Jesus Christ. Everything. Old Testament, New Testament, it all points to Jesus Christ. And I love him. And I love everything he did. And I can never give him enough glory, honor, or praise. But the truth of the matter is today, I need the Holy Spirit moving inside of my heart. I need him directing me. I need him guiding me. I need him making a difference for me today in this place. So the question that we end up asking, are we fake or are we real? We have to ask this question because there is this idea of discernment. In the world around us, there is this idea of discernment and discernment of spirits. But we have to ask ourselves, am I walking around and I'm not allowing the Spirit? See, I believe today we have a lot of Christians who have gone off the path and off the rails, so to speak, because they're not allowing the Spirit to direct them in the direction that they're supposed to go. They are trying to live a good life, representing Jesus and representing God, which is a wonderful opportunity and a wonderful attempt. But the truth of the matter is that the Holy Spirit is here to guide you. How am I going to know who and how am I going to have the discernment of spirits to understand who's good and who's bad in my life if I don't have the Holy Spirit inside of my life working or at least recognizing that the Holy Spirit is there inside of me? See, not only are we supposed to be walking by the Spirit, we are supposed to be guided by the Spirit. And in order to be guided, you have to understand how the Holy Spirit works and how he moves and how he directs us in this place. In the old times, in the biblical times, right after Jesus was hung on the cross, right after he was resurrected, after he enters into heaven, the disciples face a very, very difficult time. I don't know if any of you read history books, but you will hear in history over and over and over again that disciples were persecuted to nth degree. And when I say persecuted, many of them chose to be hung upside down instead of hung on a cross because they didn't want to die in the same way that their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died. So in reverse, what they did was they said, hang me or crucify me upside down. And so they would crucify them upside down. Other disciples were bathed in oil, tarred and feathered is what they call it, and then they would tie them to a post, stick them up in the air, and they would light them on fire and use them as torches. Many of these Christians are persecuted over and over and over again in history, and we find this. Today, we often talk about persecution as, oh, someone called me a holy roller. I'm sorry, my friends, but that is not anywhere close to persecution. Today, we talk about persecution in terms of, oh, they changed the laws, or they did this, or they did that. That is not persecution, the way that we know persecution in not only in biblical times, but do you know even today that there's a lot of persecution in the world around us? That many Christians today in Islam and other places in Egypt and other locations around the world are being killed for their faith today. And when I say killed, I'm not just saying, oh, they're shot or they're put to death quickly. No, it's a very painful death that they're put to death for their faith. So when I ask you this question, is it fake or is it real? See, one day we're going to have to make that decision. Is what inside of you, is that really greater than the world around us? Persecution is coming to this place, to America, someday. Scripture tells us that we will all be persecuted and abused for our faith because they abused Jesus Christ, and so therefore they will abuse us as well. The question that we have to ask is my faith real or is it fake? The disciples at the time, because of all of this persecution, what they did was they wanted to recognize that each other, that they were Christians. Could you imagine walking down the path and running into someone, and you think inside of your spirit, you have the spirit that says, yeah, that's a Christian. Yeah, you feel good about talking to that person, but you just don't know, right? You just don't know whether that person was real or not. And so what they would do is they'd take a stick, and they would make the symbol, the top symbol, if you will, of a fish. It was called the ichthus. It was a Greek word for fish. And so what they would do is they'd draw this, and then the next person, if they were a Christian, they would come along and they would finish that drawing. And so that's where we got the drawing of a fish, an ichthus. Everyone know what I'm talking about, I assume, right? They had that drawing, and the reason why they did that is because they wanted to confirm to each other that they could share with each other the truth about their faith. They lived in a time that was highly political. They lived in a time that was highly persecuted Christians. And so they wanted to know. Yet, John is telling them in this verse. Listen, John is telling them more than just be fake or real. He says, have the spirit inside of us. Why? Because the very next thing John tells us is the very hardest thing that we'll ever have to do in the world that we live in. Could you imagine being persecuted the way they were persecuted and then hearing John read these very words? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God has made manifest among us that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation. I had to pause there for a moment because it wasn't coming off my lips the way that it should have been. Propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Imagine for a moment, you're receiving this letter from John. John opens up the chapter 4 and he says, test the spirits. Make sure that you know what the spirits are. Do all of these things. Understand that you're walking. Understand that the spirit's inside of you. Live in that way. Understand all of those things. And then right in the middle of that, you're dealing with persecution. People, you're having to draw in the sand to make sure that the person you're talking to is another Christian. And you're drawing in the sand. You're doing those types of things. And then all of a sudden, John stops and says, but love one another. See, John knows that we as Christians are called to love, regardless of the persecution that we face. See, the hardest and the most misconstrued thing of Christianity today is that you, when you accept Jesus Christ, everything is wonderful. It's not wonderful. Just because you accept Jesus Christ doesn't mean that you're going to escape persecution. Just because you accept Jesus Christ into your heart doesn't mean that troubles is not going to follow you. In fact, troubles often follow Christians because we are the ones who are capable of dealing with it because we have a spirit living inside of us who guides us. In the days to come, we are facing some very unknowing days. We have no idea what's going on in the world around us. I've been reading and trying not to get too drawn into the abyss of this, but do you know that literally today there is one company that owns the majority of the corn that's produced in not only our country, but many other countries too? It's called GMO corn, and GMO corn basically is it's a processed corn. It's owned by a company, although there's several companies that actually produce and sell this. It all boils back to one company. That one company, by the way, is owned by a certain billionaire. I'll let you guess. If you've used a computer, you probably know who that billionaire is. Do you know today that if you plant a cornfield of GMO and then you plant a cornfield of regular corn and it is pollinated from the GMO corn over to your other field, that legally the person who owns that GMO field can take over your field because it was pollinated by GMO corn? I talked to a farmer that wasn't named a camel, sorry. I feel like I cheated on you guys or something, but I didn't, right? Okay. Talked to a farmer and he said, I stopped growing corn for the very reason. Why? It's because I said, why? And he goes, because it is not right. He goes, my father planted corn. He still grows corn. I do not. And I said, well, why is it so bad? And he goes, first of all, the molecules, which I have no idea, I'm not a food scientist, but he said this: the seed of the corn is way different than normal corn. And then he went on to say, also, in addition to that, he goes, I have some of that GMO corn that has blown into my barn, inside the depths of my barn. I have been trying to kill that corn for 3 years, and I cannot get it to die. I cut it. I dig it out. I spray it with weed killer, which I'm like, great. That's not any better than the GMO corn that you're planting. But okay. He goes, I cannot get rid of it. Why do I bring this up? I bring this up because in the world we live in today, there's so many uncertainties. Whether it be the food we eat, whether it be the people we meet, whether it be the places we go. I don't want to sound as an alarmist, and I don't want to sit here and say all of those things, but there is a time coming when things are not what they seem to be. There are many troubles in the world around us that's going on right now that is beginning to bubble up. Now, if we read, now, Jay, listen, I know I got to give you a hard time, right? I know you skipped to the end of the book and read that we win, right? But there's some really good things in the middle of the book that you should really read, Jay. Just saying, okay? But if you read Revelations, you see that this is going to continue to get on. It's going to continue to go. It's going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. There are people out there today that believe that we should reduce the population, that we have too many people to feed. And so therefore, some of the things that they are feeding us and some of the things that are going on, I don't want to be an alarmist, but some of the diseases that float in the air that have been coming on, whether they're that or not, I don't know. But there are people that believe the population must reduce in order for the population to continue. Now, I say all of that because, listen, I don't want to scare you. I don't want to say all of this. I'm not saying all of those things to make you become a fanatic or a prepper or whatever they call them today, right? It is good to be prepared, and you should be prepared. But what I say all of that is I say that because more now than maybe ever in my lifetime, you need to have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Because the Holy Spirit's going to guide you and direct you, and he's going to tell you what's good and what's not. He's going to tell you that you should not do that. And if you seek him and you are asking and you're asking the Lord, direct me and guide me. Give me the idea of people. Listen, it will become known to you because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He makes it known to you so that you know the direction to go in. He makes all of these things so that we can then finish off what John chapter 4 says. And that is to love as God loved. How do we love people who persecute us? Well, Jesus did it. I always have a problem with this, but I know when Jesus was hung on the cross and he's having those nails driven into his hands, I always have a hard time thinking, did he really love those people beside him that were doing that? And he did, because he died on that cross, not just for us, not for us good Christians, but he died on the cross for everyone. And so if we're going to live in the world that we live in, and we are called to love, as Jesus calls us to love, as the Holy Spirit calls us to love, then we have to, as John has switched the gears on us, have to switch the gears on our own too. Jesus is love. The Holy Spirit is our guidance. We need the guidance today. We need to walk in that spirit. We need to walk in those things. I'm often amazed at the number of Christians that tell me, I just can't love so-and-so. Just can't do it. Can't deal with that person. They're so hard. They're so different. And I look at them, I'm like, thank God Jesus didn't say that to you. Could you imagine that? Jesus goes, I just can't stand Jay anymore. His jokes are not getting good anymore. They're not that good anymore. Now I got him on both sides, Chaz, okay? Just want to let you know. No, it's not just Jay, though. It's all of us, right? What if Jesus said that? What if Jesus measured us in that term? He doesn't. He measures us in an immeasurable amount of love that he has for all of us, and that he calls us to walk in that love. It doesn't mean that we have to agree with everyone. It doesn't mean that we have to walk in step with all of them, but we have to be loving to them as God would be loving to them as well. And sometimes the most loving thing you could do is stand up in someone's face and say, this is what you're doing wrong. I know that's hard. Because people don't want to hear what they're doing wrong. But the truth of the matter is that if you can share with someone and you can stand in front of their face and say, listen, I love you, and I want to, I'm here to help you, I'm here to do whatever I can to help you. But, there's always a but, right? You need to walk like Christ. You need to talk like Christ. You need to be like Christ. I want to ask you this simple question. How are you doing on that? Are you showing the ones around you how God loves them? In your marriage, does your spouse know that God loves them through your actions? Do your actions produce a love for your spouse? Do your kids know that how great God's love is by your actions? Do the people around you know that God is real because of the way that you live? See, the truth of the matter is that we are living in a world and a time that we need Christians to display and show the love of God like they've never shown before. We need Christians to stand up and say, I'm going to love and I'm going to do all that I can to love the people around me. Even though they may disagree with me, even though they may persecute me, I'm still going to love. Why? Because the Holy Spirit calls me to do that. Do you know why Acts chapter 2, I love Acts chapter 2, and we were reading that in Bible study this past week. Acts chapter 2, wonderful story of koinonia. That term means the church, the gathered ones, if you will. It's the first time in Scripture that you see that term, and what happens after that is that it's used almost 17 or 18 times after that to describe the gathering of people. I love Acts chapter 2 because if you read Acts chapter 2, it shows us what the early church looked like. What happened in the early church? They met together daily. It's hard enough to get all of you in here on one day a week, let alone daily. Could you imagine meeting daily? They did it. What else did they do? They shared dinners together. Oh my goodness, you mean they invited people over to their house for dinner? Yeah, they sure did. Not just on Sundays, you know, after church. Hey, it's good. No, they did it every day. They shared a meal together every single day. What else did they do in Acts chapter 2? They gathered together their belongings and sold them and helped other people out in need. Jay gets up here wonderfully every Sunday and talks about tithing not being about money, and that we should have a relationship with God and we should want to honor him and do those things. But you know what? It doesn't just end with that. Scripture, if we're truly wanting to be an Acts chapter 2 church, which that should be a desire for all of us, is it says that we should go and sell our belongings. Now listen, I'm going to be hard-pressed to sell my truck just because Pastor Chaz wants to go and play golf, right? Sorry. No, I'm kidding, but if there's a need, what happens in Acts chapter 2? They sold what they needed. They had an extra field, they go sell the field and give it to someone else in need. Over the course of years, we have lost what that means. The church has become not about the Acts chapter 2 church, it has become more about the world's church, and we look more like the world, because what does that mean? You become who you want to be based upon all the things that you want, and not what God wants. Acts chapter 2 tells us that not only did they gather together daily, they lived life together. They did all of these things. How is that possible? See, today, in this world today, how is it possible that someone would be willing to go sell their house or sell their field or sell some extra things that they had to give the money to someone else? In our human nature, let me be honest. If I sat here and said, listen, we could have a church building right now if all of you would just go sell a portion of your land and bring it to the church, you'd all look at me and say, you're crazy. See you later, right? The truth of the matter is that all of that is possible because the Holy Spirit was at work inside of them. When the Holy Spirit's at work inside of us, he causes us to look at things differently than the way we would see them in our normal eyes. He causes us to see things in a way that we wouldn't see just with our own spectacles and our own eyes. He causes us to see things in his love and the way that he wants to do things. And see, the truth of the matter is that if you're here today and you're wanting to be a good Christian, you're wanting to grow in your Christianity, then what you have to do is you have to open up the Holy Spirit, and then you have to be willing to let go of everything. Let go of your control of your finances. Let go of the control of your future. Let go of the control of all of those things and put it in the hands of the Holy Spirit and say, I will trust you and I will walk and I will go wherever you send me to go. And therefore, by that, I will have the power then to love the people that are unlovable. I will have the discernment to understand who is good and who is not, who to avoid in the grocery store and who not. See, the Holy Spirit's at work inside of us, and that is what was inside of the... When you understand that the Holy Spirit was at work inside of them, it brings a whole nother story, right? If you read the rest of Acts chapter... If you read the rest of Acts, you'll find that there are many things that happen based upon the Holy Spirit. They're able to go and heal people. They're able to do things. They were able to... They saw people drop dead in their sights. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was not working inside of them. They avoided the Holy Spirit. The truth of the matter is that when we live by the Spirit, we are called to love by the Spirit. The reason why a lot of people in the Christian church today doesn't want to live by the Spirit is because they don't want to love by the Spirit. They don't want to love outside of their normal comfort zone. They don't want to love in the way that God wants them to love. And so therefore, they want to have some type of control on it, and you cannot control the Holy Spirit. Simple fact. The Holy Spirit is going to ask you to do things in a greater form because he's going to draw you into Jesus and he's going to draw you into God the Father. And then you're going to have to love like him. Today, I want to end with this simple thing. How are you doing with that? Are you allowing the Spirit to work on you? Are you allowing the Spirit to grow inside of you? Are you allowing the Spirit to teach you love in a new way? Because the truth of the matter is that we cannot love the world around us without the Holy Spirit at work inside of us. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit at work inside of us, then we're in trouble in the world around us. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. When we grasp that the Holy Spirit is what makes the love of people possible, it would take our church and every church to a totally different level. Could you imagine when the move of the Holy Spirit was inside of you and you chose to do what the Holy Spirit asked you to do, to love people in a different way than the way that you would live today? Could you imagine when the Holy Spirit was the most important thing and what he was doing inside of you was more important than anything else? That hobbies? I'll probably get in trouble for this, Corey, so I'm going to blame you on it. But I'm amazed today at the number. You know, drive by this afternoon. If you drive by Route 44 and you go into Rich Sound and you see how many people are at that school today on a Sunday morning, what do they have? Right now in that field on Sunday morning, they have cheerleading, they have football, they have soccer, and they actually even have track practice, I heard. What are we showing our kids when we say, oh, it's okay to be in cheerleading, it's okay to be in track, it's okay to be in soccer, it's okay to be in football on a Sunday morning instead of in the body of Christ? What are we telling our kids? We're telling our kids it's more important, that's more important than walking in Christ. What are we telling our kids when we say, you know what, I'm just tired, I'm going to sleep in today. I know it's Sunday, I know I should be at church, but I'm just going to sleep in today. We're telling our kids, we're telling each other that it's okay. That the koinonia doesn't mean anything. That the gathering of the spirits, that the spending time together, the asking the Holy Spirit to be at work inside of us doesn't mean a darn thing. See, the world around us is doing a great job of growing the non-Christian church. The Christians are not doing such a good job of growing the Christian church. Because we are allowing the world inside of us to direct us instead of the Spirit inside of us directing us to do what God calls us to do. Where do we go when we're sick? Where do we go when we're suffering? Where do we go when we're sad? You know, this past week I went, I have this bum elbow, I've had it for a while, tennis elbow, and I haven't been able to use it. I went to the therapist, and the therapist says to me, it costs $200 every time I come. I said, what? She's like, yeah, that's what your insurance doesn't pay that much, so it's going to cost you $200 every time you come. And I'm like, guess what? It's not that important to me. All of a sudden, my elbow is great. Look, see, I can bend it. I can do everything else. Truth of the matter is that we put energy and effort and time into what we find important. We allow what's important to us to blossom outside of us, to change us. And so today I want to ask you this question. How are you doing? Are you allowing the Spirit to blossom out of you? Are you allowing the Spirit to help you love the people that are unlovable? That doesn't mean that if your child comes and they go to stick their hand on the stove and you say, don't touch it, it's hot. There's a consequences to you touching that hot stove, right? That consequence is that your hand's going to be burnt. And you can tell your child that over and over and over again. And if they still go and they touch their hand on that stove, guess what? They're going to get burnt. Do you not love your child because they didn't listen to you? No, of course you love your child. And you might even say, oh, I'm so sorry, and you try to help them out. The reality of it is there's consequences to our actions, but that doesn't mean that we stop loving them. We can tell the world outside of us that we disagree with them, but are we telling them that we love them too? How are we helping them today? How are you helping them today? I want to encourage you today to take a hard look at yourself and ask yourself, am I loving the world around me the way that the Holy Spirit would have me love it? Maybe somehow today there's something inside of you and you haven't been seeking the Holy Spirit. May you seek the Holy Spirit and his guidance on your life today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you have done and all that you are doing. And Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, but we also thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit to us. And Holy Spirit, we just want to give you an opportunity to guide us, to direct us, to show us the path. In today's world, it's so hard to even go outside of these four walls and into the world around us without knowing or fearing for our lives or fearing for what's going on. Lord, give us the direction we need. Holy Spirit, direct us, guide us, give us the strength we need to do your will today in this world, to love the people that need to be loved. Direct us, guide us by your Spirit. As John said, we will know those by your Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we ask you today, help us to love the world like you loved it, giving us the ability to do that. That seems like an unaccomplishable task, but you call us to that task. You call us to reach out and to seek those that need to be loved. So guide us, direct us into this path. Help us to be secured, not in what our eyes see, not to be secured in what the world tells us, but to be secured in the Holy Spirit and his direction for our lives in this place today. That's only accomplishable by you, Father. And so we ask you today, help us, guide us, strengthen us. Maybe there's some here today that's never walked in the Holy Spirit before, never walked in that power, doesn't even understand what it would be like. Then today, may today be that day where we let go and we seek you. We ask you for your guidance. We ask you for your direction. We ask you for your love. Help us to come into this place. Maybe today you're here, or maybe there's someone watching online that's never given their life to Christ. May today be that day. Romans 10 verse 9 says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we repent of our sins, we turn away from those sins, and we ask him into our heart, that we can have everlasting eternal life. Why do we have that everlasting eternal life? Because of the price that he paid on the cross. But inside of us is the Holy Spirit who resides, directs, and guides us. Lord, if there's someone here today, let that be the day. Let today be the moment where they give their life over to you and say, I want more of you, Jesus. I want more of you, Holy Spirit. And then send us forth from this place, loving the people around us as you would love them, having the wisdom that can only come from the Holy Spirit, the discernment of spirits, and all of the other things that you give to us to share, to be your hands and feet in the world around us. We glorify you, we honor you, and we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's worship together.
I'm down to rivals. I'll stand strong and worship you. And if it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice because you're here too. I won't be formed by feelings. I hold fast to what is true. And if the cross brings transformation, I'll be crucified with you. I won't bow down to idols. I'll stand strong and worship you. And if it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice because you're there too. I won't be formed by feelings. I hold fast to what is true. And if the cross brings transformation, you can hang me there with you. Because death is just a doorway into resurrection life. And if you join me in the suffering, then I'll join you in new lives. When you reach heaven glory, all the angels and the saints, then my heart will still be singing, and my soul will be the same. Christ be magnified, let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me. Christ be magnified. Let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me.
I jokingly said a few weeks ago that we needed the Holy Spirit to guide us to just go to Walmart. And this past week, I found myself in Walmart. And as I was walking down the pathways, pushing my cart, I'm being a good little shopper, right? Out comes this sweet, older lady. She ran right into my cart. I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, ma'am." And she goes, "You should be." She goes, "You, I look young." I said, "How do I answer that question, Pastor Chaz?" That's what I was thinking to myself. Do I say, "No, you don't," or "I'm sorry," right? So I just, "I'm sorry, ma'am. I didn't." She goes, "Well, get out of my way." That's what she said. So I bowed my head and pushed my cart back a little bit. I said, "Lord," to myself, I said, "Lord, please help that lady. She needs help." So I walk down the aisle. I'm getting what I need to get. And as I walk over, I go to turn the aisle. And who's at the end of that other aisle? This sweet older lady that's shorter than me. And she happened to want something that was on the top shelf. I was the only one around. I swear God does this on purpose in my life. I got to tell you this. And I'm thinking to myself, I should just turn down and walk away, right? Walk away a different aisle. But then I realized what I need is actually not too far from where she's at. Like, oh God, really? Come on. So I turned down the aisle. I'm walking down the aisle and she's like this. And she's like, "Oh, it's you." I said, "Yeah, it's me." I said, "Ma'am, do you need help reaching something?" And she goes, "Why would you do that?" And I said, "Because God loves you. Not anything that you said." And I told her that. I said, "It's because God loves you and he directed me down this aisle. Because what I need is right next to what you need." She goes, "You would do that for me?" I said, "I certainly would." And I reached up and I grabbed her that and I put it down on her shelf and I said, "Have a nice day, ma'am. May God bless you." And she looks at me and she says, "Well, maybe I will." And she turned around and walked away. Now, I jokingly said that you need the Holy Spirit in your life to go into Walmart. You do, and I'm living proof for it, right then and there. Truth of the matter is that the Holy Spirit will guide us into those times. What I wanted to do to that old lady was tell her off and tell her, "Good luck in getting that thing off the top shelf, because you can't reach it." Ha ha ha! But I didn't. I instead reached up, grabbed that, put it in her cart, and blessed her along her way. Because the Holy Spirit is at work inside of us. It's at those times when we can overcome the world and do what he calls us to do. Because that was the right thing to do. Not what I wanted to do, but the right thing. So may I encourage you today to lean in on the Spirit. Because no matter where you go today, you're going to need him. You're going to need his protection. You're going to need his wisdom. You're going to need his guidance. And Lord knows you're going to need him to help you forgive the people that do something against you. And so ask him today, "Have your way in me, Holy Spirit. Guide me, direct me." Again, you're not cheating on Jesus by asking the Holy Spirit to be part of your life, to guide you and give you wisdom and direction. In fact, Jesus is glorified when we allow the Holy Spirit to glorify us and to move inside of us. So do that today. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you've done and all that you will do. Guide us and direct us on our path, Father. Help us to do the will that you have called us to do. Help us to have the ability to seek upon your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we ask you just to make yourself known inside of us. That as we face these situations in our life, we know that you're at work in us and that you can lead us to love those that need to be loved, to guide those that need to be guided, to guide us in every step that we need. So we can have our sins forgiven, so that we can walk in the path that you have for us. Help us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you again next week.